The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler.
We are here with Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E, because it's ours.
It belongs to all of us.
All of us. Broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. We're also streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, keep it pithy, please. 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and we archive this show. So if you are listening now and you want to share it with your friends, we archive it. In the archive, Dave comes up, 5 minutes after we're done, right? He's nodding, yes. You can talk, brother. It's okay. You can talk.
Yeah, actually, it's about 3.5 minutes.
3.5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. And I notice you're not wearing your hat backwards. What's going on?
Change my ways.
That looks better, buddy. That's cool.
He's a professional man.
That's right.
Now.
At least you didn't come in here with a Hawaiian shirt and thongs. I wore the Hawaiian shirt, though. Oh, yeah, I've got thongs. We are here this morning with our Register of Voters, Clint Curtis, here for Shasta County. Clint, my friend, how you doing?
I am doing good, sir.
Good, good. So we have some things that we wanted to chit-chat about today. And first of all, is there anything on your mind you want to bring up right away here?
Not really. Lead me on.
All right. Sounds good. You know, a lot of people talk about the rolls, and what's going on with the voter rolls. And I know in Santa Clara County, we're, 83% Democrat, and in San Mateo County, it's almost that. I'm not sure what the exact figure is, but it's almost that. And that can kind of, that wipes out what we could do up here in 11 counties.
Right.
So what's your thought process on the, especially with most of the counties up here voting almost 70% no on Prop 50, and then yes being the vote for the state of California by 63.6%? What say you, sir? What do you think?
Well, it's kind of odd that it's that high, even with the match. It should have been a little bit closer than that. You know, it's really hard to tell. I haven't analyzed their actual elections, but, you know, the numbers seem like it's incredibly high. It seems like you had to poll almost all the independents as well, which actually never happens. You know, if you're in a county that's 70% Republican and 30% Democrat, the independents will break exactly that way. In fact, they do that all the time. So they're almost, everyone says, oh, we got to get the independent vote. That really doesn't happen. You know, it's where they live. It's who they speak to. And that's the way it is. So it breaks down almost exactly in every election anywhere. So, you know, it seems a little high. I think they've got to get the elections controlled and believable so people can see what's going on. And, you know, that's what we did here. Where we put everything on a camera so everyone can count their votes themselves. And they gave us a lot of gruff issues with it, but, you know, we got it done anyway.
You're hanging in there.
We got it done. They weren't able to shut us down, and that's the important part.
That is the important part. Yeah. Now, as far as the gubernatorial race, you know, who do you think are, you know, what are the top three candidates in your mind? Who do you think are the people that, and I also want to get your take on who you think is the most interesting.
Well, I don't know his name, but the cowboy is the most interesting. The
Bianco.
Is that his name?
Yeah, no.
See, I don't really know their names.
Bianco is the sheriff.
Yeah, but
There's a cowboy running.
There's a cowboy in there. Yeah, an actual rancher with a hat.
With a hat, yeah. I remember
full
him.
Full nine yards, yeah. I went down to the...
to Kim Yeager's deal.
Yes, yeah. her governor showdown, right. Which your sheriff guy didn't show up, apparently. So I didn't get to hear him.
Yeah.
But I got to hear, I think, most of them. I don't know if a couple others missed. I mean, you know, some of them were good. I didn't pay much attention to their names because right now when you got 14 of them, it's not worth the trouble 15. To learn. 15?
Yeah.
Not worth the trouble yet. And they've got to break that down to one or two.
Right.
Because you have a jungle primary in California, which means the top two vote getters go on.
No matter what party.
And if someone has 50 or more percent,
yep.
You're toast. So they're going to shoot each other in the foot that way. So they've got to get together and figure out, you know, they need to have kind of their own little sub-primary ahead of time mm-hmm. because primaries have been basically destroyed now, so you can't really have a choice to pick who you want because mm-hmm. the jungle primary is the election. It's kind of my election in June. It says it's a primary, but it's not. Whoever wins that between me and whoever else is running, that's who is going to win.
Right.
There's not even going to be a vote in the general.
Correct.
So you got to remember that. Same thing with the governors. They've got to have kind of a little way to figure out ahead of time what their backing is, because if they all go in there, they're all going home.
Yeah.
They don't have a chance. They'll be splitting little breaks here and there, little pieces off, and, you know, they split the vote 15 times. Split
the interesting,
vote 15 times. You got nothing.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this election so far is that there is no strong candidate for either party. Nobody has risen to the top. They were all laying their claim to Katie Porter, but she's kind of shooting herself in the foot.
Well, Bianco thinks he's raised to the top because I just saw the latest thing yesterday, and he didn't show up for Kim Yeager's little event. My wife and I were supposed to go to that,
chickened out.
I told Kim, I said, it doesn't make any sense yet. We have to get them all on the same page. Because unless, as you're saying, and you're 100% right, you've got to back one or two. Two anyway. You know, you can't just go down there with 15 people. And like you said, you know, we were talking about this the other day when you and I talked. I mean, these guys don't even know what their jurisdiction is. They don't know what the hell their job is.
You don't.
And like you were saying, it's understandable newer ones don't have it, but what about Katie?
What is the odd thing is that Katie Porter, right. I just heard a thing she did, a whole thing on immigration. Well, she was in the House, and she may have known something about immigration, but she's running for governor, and governors don't have anything to do with immigration.
No jurisdiction.
That's right.
Nothing at all.
So if they don't understand their jurisdiction, they should not be running the race. They should not even be a candidate.
Well, but when we have a sanctuary state, and a lot of our state money is going towards support for the illegal aliens, yeah, California is heavily into the immigration issue.
Well, they're into it, but they can't do anything about it. That's the difference. The difference is... can you make any sort of legislation or any sort of movement that can change it one way or the other? And you can't. There is nothing that the state can do regarding immigration. And they've tried. Arizona tried it, failed. Texas is closer because Texas doesn't really play by the rules. So they've allowed their state troopers to actually check on immigration status. But all they can do if they find someone who is out of status is simply turn them over to ICE. They still don't have immigration
That's right.
ability to do anything else.
Right.
They can't even take them in local court. And so instead of arresting them, they just turn them over to ICE. And then they haul them down to this really remote place way down at the bottom of Texas.
The train station.
It's pretty far. We had some people that, you know, we went there for asylum issues. And it's like, you know, 3 hours from the nearest airport. In the dust, in the dirt, nothing else is there. Little tiny town, and it's just, and this is where they keep, that's the facility. That's their ICE facility. So,
I went down to Southern California, 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago. So, Kim Yeager brought me down. I stayed down there for 3 days. And we went to the border at San Ysidro, which is the largest point of entry in the world. And, Sheriff Johnson went down there and worked with their sheriff down there. I didn't see Bianco around anywhere, but anyway, so the thing is that as we go into this gubernatorial race and the jurisdiction, you know, what Janet, I think, is alluding to is the money that we give them in California and the services we provide in California. But see, there hasn't been anybody putting their foot down on immigration, which Trump can do, and Congress can do, using Title 8, Code Section 1324 of the United States Code, harboring and shielding an illegal alien is a felony. And that's what they've done. The sanctuary cities are illegal. I know I'm preaching to the choir by telling you this, Clint, because you know all about this stuff. But so,
well, he's trying now. I mean, he's actually trying to use that actual statute to go after people. So that's why he's arresting these judges and things like that. Oh, you can't arrest a judge. Well,
yes, you can.
According to the law, yes, you can.
If they break the law.
They are not above the law, even though they get to judge the law.
Yeah.
So he's actually pushing on that. How that goes, anybody knows, right? I mean, we don't know where that's going because it is kind of...
Well, California stand is right now is they want to be... they're trying to say that they're protecting these illegals from... you know, from basic, not so much racism, but, that they could be harmed and people would go after them, you know, sort of like, I don't know, treating them like Palestine. And, you know, really, and that's...
They think they're refugees. They don't think they're...
Exactly right. Whereas illegal. The governor of Texas is saying, no, we're being invaded, Article 1, Section 10, United States Constitution. We're actually being invaded here.
Right.
And as governor, I do have jurisdiction now. That's what he used. But again, you're right. He still had to turn him over to ICE. Still had to.
You have to turn him over. You have nothing you can do. Once you catch him.
You can catch him, but
nothing you can do.
That's right.
And technically, that's the way it was always supposed to be. So if you catch him in Indiana, you're supposed to turn him over to ICE. You're not supposed to let him go. You're not supposed to take him to court and have him bailed out. You have to turn him over to ICE. That is the rules. That's not what we followed. And as far as the money that goes to these people, a lot of that is not federal money. It kind of was under Biden. You know, he was sending extra money to take care of illegal aliens, do housing, do medical. But most of that is state money. Most of that comes out of your pocket. So, you know, if you have some Medicaid money coming in and they're paying out for 10 billion illegal aliens, then that cuts off the other people that it was intended to fund. So that's why everybody's kind of messed up here. But, you know, we'll see if they pull that together, huh?
Yeah, you know, and
at least the candidates for governor now are leaning the direction of let's cut that off. I haven't heard any of them say they wanted to continue that sort of practice. So that is something that's worthwhile. But
well, the Republican candidates are saying that, but I haven't heard that from the Democrat candidates.
No, in fact, the Katie Porter thing I heard says just the opposite.
Exactly. They're still...
We need to take care of everybody.
They're still sanctuary state.
Right.
That's where they're coming from.
But I don't think they understand that. Even that sounds very noble. That is stupid. Because money is limited. It's not a matter of compassion. It's a matter of resources.
Well, don't accuse the Democrat leftists of being anything but stupid.
Well, it's a matter of safety as well. You know, you think about you letting these people in without any vetting of any kind, and then all of a sudden we have people missing, people getting killed, and robberies and looting. I mean, just the whole thing. You know, just all kinds of ugly stuff happening because of the open border.
And it also messes up the system for anyone who's legal.
That's right, it does.
So if you have someone coming, when I first started doing immigration law 1,000 years ago, it took 2 years if you wanted to get your brother to come in and you signed for him and you did the whole process and you followed the law.
Didn't they have to be sponsored at some point somehow?
They have to be sponsored, but you would have to sponsor them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have to come in, they'd have to get a job, you know, all the normal things that
we all had to
legal
do.
Immigration requires.
Yes, yes.
You know, if you ever heard Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about it, it's like, you know, we're guests here. We have to fit in. We have to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not you just come in and you take.
Right.
Which is the other thing going on. But what started out is 2 years to get your brother in or your mother from somewhere. 22 years now to get them in there.
Holy crap.
Do you know why? Because the system is so bogged down with people who shouldn't even be here.
Right.
Because every one of those... You know, some of them will file legal asylums because they really have an asylum issue.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're told at the border that if you don't file for asylum, you're out, you know, and they're coached, you know, because I've had them that came in that said, I have to say this and this and this. And I said, okay, we can say that. Where's the proof? Oh, I don't have any proof. I came here to make money.
Okay, so
it's like, well,
yeah.
I can't help you.
So what other countries offer asylum?
What do you mean, whether? Could they get asylum in Mexico? Yes.
Okay.
But do they? No.
No.
You know why?
They don't give away free stuff.
There's no money there. Right. So you don't have any free stuff. So they go through Mexico, which is a big journey. You know, you have to have credible fear.
Well, unless they land in Tijuana and just come across the border, which we know that planes were doing that left, right, and center.
Right. Well, that was happening a lot to Canada, too, by the way. I don't know. know that, but a lot of our leak is not the southern border. It's the Canadian border. Most of the people that I handled that came across illegal came across, flew into Canada, walked across the border, right up around New York where
Niagara Falls is.
Well, a little
further east.
A little farther over, because they got to get to Niagara, and that's a little farther away.
Gotcha.
So they'd fly into, you know, what is that, Montreal? I don't remember. I don't know my Canadian cities that well. I think it's Toronto or Montreal. Anyway, they fly in there. Which one speaks French?
Montreal.
Fly into Montreal. And then they would just walk across right through the upper New York. Jeez. Easy walk. No problem. They'd come in, and they're in because no one saw them come in.
Yeah.
Because there's really no border guards there. It's just woods. So, and they do have patrols that go out, you know, because it's kind of backwoods up in upper New York, and everybody's ever been there. So, you know, people will see, you know, 50 people coming across their cornfield.
Right.
So, you know, then they call the cops, and they come grab them if they can. But, you know, when everybody scatters,
yeah,
you don't have that many cops.
Right.
You have to pick. Which one do you want a choice?
The slowest one is usually the one caught.
Yeah. The slow guy's the one you want in your effect.
Yeah.
If you get the slow guy, he's going to get caught, and you're out of there.
That's right.
So, but they come across all the time up there, same way as they came through the southern border. And the point is that we don't have any real way to coordinate whether they get work or not. Because a lot of them come in and they work. Because we have a system that allows them to. What I always proposed was that, and I'm not running for governor, so I can propose these stupid things for the immigration that nobody else is doing. Because I'm proposing it, but I can't do anything about it, just like they can't either. But if we went to a program where we had to use the verification system, because there's an e-verify system.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan put that in a million years ago. In fact, this is his proposal. Let's not steal it from him. But anyway, he wanted people to use e-verify. And if you hired somebody outside of the e-verify system, you went to jail. They didn't.
Right.
You did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And that would cut that down. And everybody goes, oh, that's crazy. We're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got e-verify, but it hasn't really done anything.
Wow.
So that's one of the problems. That's why people can come in and work and, you know, get these jobs and that sort of thing. And then if they can't get a job, then they just go down to San Francisco and they'll give them food and give them money and they don't need to work.
Live on the streets and do their thing.
Do what they want. Right. Bad system, huh?
Nice.
So what do you think about Prop 50, and where does that really leave us in reality? And I'm going to just bring up one thing. I talked to Mark Spanigold Friday, who's the chief of staff for Doug LaMalfa, and we had a good conversation about what was going on. But Doug, of course, won't be District 2, which is what will be.
Right.
It'll be District 1, and it doesn't look like his district really changes that much. So I'm not really sure if he's really washing his hands of us at this point, but what do you see as far as that lawsuit going, that's going, and what do you think the outcome's going to be when all is said and done on 50?
When all is said and done on 50, I think 50 will be overturned. I think the Supreme Court will kick it out because basically they've been advertising this the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Students versus Harvard, that wasn't a case on, you know, redistribution. It was a case on admission to a university. But yet the Supreme Court put out there, and if you go to out of your way to cross geographical borders, then we're going to throw it out. That's nothing you need to say in the Harvard case, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, you go, that's interesting. And then there's the one down in Louisiana. Is it Lucerne or something like that? Lucerne versus Louisiana?
LaSalle?
I don't know. One down in Louisiana where, you know, they're doing a lawsuit on the redrawing of borders. And essentially it said the same thing, you know, that's probably not going to be a felony. This is just chatter because they haven't ruled on it yet. But this is all background chatter, you know, where people are getting their feeling for what's going on, and it looks like they're going to kick that out. Texas will be hard for them to kick out because everybody's, oh, Texas did it, California can do it. But Texas does it in a different fashion. They don't go up and surround, you know, lasso an area that isn't even close. In Texas, the one they always move is Houston. So I don't know if you've ever been to Houston, but Houston's a big city. And so that's what pushes their borders out. So when they do redistribution and redistricting, they just kind of box in their minority inside of Houston, and then they expand their suburbs out. They almost have to make the numbers work out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it grows, because no one wants to live in Houston, because horrible city, I don't know if you've been there or not. But
yes, several
horrible city, and toll roads everywhere you go. You can't cross town without going through 50 toll roads. There's no way to go around them. That's the bad part. But in Houston itself, as it grows out and people go to the suburbs, then they have to expand those numbers. And so that's essentially what they did. So you'll see these little, if you look at the Texas map, it's now called the blueberry map because it's this big sea of red with these little blueberries in it, which is the population centers. And so, you know, they pull those out. So that's actually fairly legit. I don't think they did it for legit reasons.
Right.
But there are reasoning, there is a reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
California went crazy, right? So now you're snaking up hundreds of miles, little bitty, you know, runways to connect these districts. You know, they just went crazy. So I think the Supreme Court is going to kick that out.
Well, I know that, I talked to Mark Moser and he was saying at first he went to court the first time on the 2nd and then the 5th he wanted to get some kind of ruling on his case with a PI is what he wanted, a preliminary injunction to stop this thing, slow it down, put it in limbo, whatever. So what happened is it got pushed back to the 15th. And so they're nervous now that if it doesn't happen by the beginning of the year, and like you said, the Supreme Court, but I think, you know, I mean, we've been involved in a case, and it's, you know, it can take a long time, as you know. I mean,
it can take years.
It can take years, and that's the thing. So
or it can take minutes.
Okay, but
it depends on what their mood is and how they want to address it.
Well, he did get a 3-judge panel. In other words, that's what Moser got. So maybe the appellate process, maybe it could be, I don't know, dilution of vote, lack of representation, something like that, where you can push that through. That would go to the Supreme Court in the appellate process.
Mm-hmm. What district did he get that in?
He's doing it for the state of California.
So
what district as far as the 3-judge panel?
Well, I guess I should say...
Where did he file it?
Yeah.
Where did he file it? I don't know.
And then the circuit is the Ninth Circuit then.
It's the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, and he got
it is the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, so he got the Ninth Circuit and it's got a 3-judge panel there.
Right.
And of the 13 judges, they'll probably overturn it with an en banc.
With an en banc. That's what he was, you know.
We're not strangers to
that.
That's what
Spanagold said.
Oh my gosh.
They might overturn it. They get the 11 to 13 judges in there and say, we didn't really mean that.
Yeah. The new District 1, which LaMalfa is now where he resides, Mike McGuire has already filed for that seat, and the legislation favored Mike McGuire for that area, and he is one of the strongest.
Where's McGuire out of?
Wherever in that district, in the new District 1, and I'm not exactly sure where, but it was set up for him to be able to win. And he's one of the strongest members of the California legislature.
But is he red or blue?
He's blue.
Oh, okay.
Blue.
Yeah, of course.
That's
yeah.
It really doesn't matter other than that. I mean, our representative, if it stays, is coming out of San Francisco. And that's the way it is.
Marin County.
Yeah.
Right.
There's Jared Huffman. For our,
well, that'll
our
be
new
for District 2. We'll be two.
Yeah.
You were talking about one.
I was talking about one.
Right.
With LaMalfa. So
right.
He's facing.
Well, I know Lake now swings over to that. I don't know. That kind of helped. They've got 11 people there. 6 of them are Republicans.
Calusa's blue. Their representative.
Is Calusa going to be one still?
It'll be one. Yes, it'll be one.
Okay. So anyway, So as we go on with the elections, when we get back from the break, I want to. You know, I want people to really know and tell them about the changes you made, which I think are great. And I think a lot of people are interested in seeing where we go, what your thoughts on June. And if you want to, we can talk a little bit about your race. We'll have to give Miss Francesca equal time, which
that's right. We can do that.
Joanna, you can come in anytime you want.
Anytime.
There's
your invitation. Maybe we'd have a debate right here.
That'd be great.
What do you think of that?
That'd be really fun. We could do that. Yeah, definitely we can do that.
What do you think, Dave?
I'm getting thumbs up from the engineer in there talking about that, Mr. Engineer. I think we'll take our break a little early, huh, buddy?
I like debate.
I like debate, too. I like to fish.
Well, I say both offers are on the table to Ms. Francesca. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Reading Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Eden Theater Company presents Once Upon a Christmas Night, an exciting, original, family-friendly show about the wonder of Christmas.
Join us at the David Marr Theater at 2200 Eureka Way, December 5th, 6th, and 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets are only $20. You may purchase them online at eventbrite.com. Simply search Eden Theater Company.
Enjoy beloved holiday classics such as...
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Baby, it's cold. Baby, it's cold outside.
Don't miss Eden Theater Company's Once Upon a Christmas Night on December 5th, 6th, and 7th at 7 p.m. at the David Marr Theater at 2200 Eureka Way. Tickets are just $20 on Eventbrite.com. Search Eden Theater Company Once Upon a Christmas Night or purchase your tickets at the door. It's an evening you won't forget.
Celebrate the holiday season at Reading Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Reading, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrubs. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They are one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heating and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Reading Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Singing, this'll be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so. Do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow?
Okay, Sally Lou. Okay, honey, maybe you can call and give us an explanation why you played that song.
It's a good song.
It is a good song.
Uplifting.
She's laughing. I can see her.
All right, so you were talking about elections and all this good stuff that's happening here in Shasta County because that's your job. Are you going to – I know you've been busy with the last thing that we just went through with 50 and all that stuff and the city tax that failed miserably.
We've been done for 2 weeks.
There you go.
We flew through it.
Good. Well, so my question is, too, what about the correction or cleanup or the auditing of past elections? And the one that we're talking about is the primary of 24.
Primary of 24, I'm going to take a look at. Actually, I'll probably have the Justice Department ask them if they want to take a look at it because it's weird. Usually an election is flat. Mm-hmm. When you get the first 30% in, that's what it is. And if it isn't, you might want to take a look. It's all event-driven, you know.
Okay.
So, like, if a candidate gets drunk and runs over a school bus and kills a bunch of children, that will actually affect probably 5 or 6 points tops, right? Because most people won't pay attention even then. But that will affect an election. But they should be flat. So if you notice in the last election, we had 69% from the early mail-in. We had 69% from the vote at the precincts, and then we had about 69% for the late mail-ins. that's the way an election actually usually looks. In that primary, you had like a huge gap between your initial and your second,
mm-hmm.
or your third. So there was something going on in the first. Now, the way they had the office set up, they did not have any seals on the ballots. So they would throw them into these blue bins, roll them out of one room into an elevator and up to another room that also had no seals. It had a key card that you could go in, which means that's a perfect environment for front loading an election.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you go and you change ballots wherever you want them to be, right?
Right.
There was a key card for the actual door, but if you look through the log, hundreds of entries were there with people going in, no identification of who they were.
Whoa.
So that's an issue, right?
That's a ghost card. They can just use it. Anybody could use it.
And somebody went in.
Wow.
Card said somebody went in, but they don't know who. Now, usually that has a name attached to it, but this has these big gaps in it, so I'll start looking that over. We were a little busy before. So I'll start looking that over. I'll tell the Justice Department what the numbers are and see if they want to come in, because they're looking at stuff like this, although they're a little busy right now with Secretary of State and Southern California and all that. So, but I'll invite them in, because, you know, pretty soon those ballots are going to be destroyed. And once they're destroyed, they won't be able to go back and look at them.
Because there's a 22-month mark where they can be destroyed, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So they're just about done.
Do they have to be destroyed, or can you save them legally?
I can't save them. By law, they have to be destroyed unless a court orders them not to. So this happened to you once more in Shasta County. The board said, don't destroy those.
Right.
And instead of telling the board, well, you have to get a court order, so I can't destroy those, they just ignored it and destroyed them anyway.
Yeah, because they knew the law that the BOS didn't know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But they can go through and check these. Now, it's complicated and it's expensive. That's why we can't do it. The Justice Department can do it. But beyond the fact that they had to duplicate a zillion ballots,
mm-hmm.
whenever you duplicate a ballot, you have to keep the original.
Right.
Which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be able to marry them together.
Yes. Yes.
So what they can do, and I'll walk them through it if they need my help, but as a geek, but they can go through with the ballots that were done before. And just like you sign your name the same every signature,
mm-hmm.
if those bubbles were filled in the same way by one person.
Right. That pattern.
They'll get a pattern. And eventually that pattern will always be the same. Now, a computer will pick that up fairly quickly, so they can look at that and find out if there's that mix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a bigger problem is when I went there and we started moving the stuff into storage, is the seals were broken.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this little thin tape around it, and that's what they were sealing their boxes with. So those were all snapped and broken and, you know, things were crushed. So it was a mess, right?
Oh, man.
Okay, so then with that you're looking to do, what about the 23 time changes?
Well, the 23 time changes, I'm not sure how we'll ever figure that out, because the logs are what the logs are, right?
But if it indicates that there were 23 time changes, well, that's a huge anomaly for all of that, right?
It is. And some of it had to be by the program, not by a person, because they were 1 minute apart. So a person, I don't care how good you are, you will not be able to do things 1 minute
apart,
in sequence.
Right.
So something was cascading down. So, you know, you have to figure out what that is. That wasn't somebody sitting at the computer messing it up. That was something else going on. Could be a programming error.
Programming error, yeah.
You know, where it's like it was just stuck in a cycle or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, trying to find that at this stage, a little tough.
And then what about?
Should have called me then.
What about? Yeah, exactly.
Could have given you a little better handle on it.
So what about the post report, and what about staff, you know, slow walking that?
Well, the staff was not 100% on board,
mm-hmm.
as you probably could understand, mm-hmm. you know. And there were a lot of changes. We changed everything. You know, the procedures all changed. The fact that you had to, if you moved an envelope even, you know, a ballot even 3 feet, it had to go in a transparent container with four seals, and I'm talking there the actual seals, not a little piece of tape. We're talking the physical seals.
Okay.
So they weren't used to that sort of a pace, and so it's hard to know if they were slow walking or just confused, because I hadn't seen them before, so it's hard to gauge. I mean, they weren't as fast as I wanted them to be. They weren't as fast as other places I've seen, but I don't know what their normal speed is. It's like, is your car running at top speed? Well, I've never driven this car. How would I know, right?
Right.
So, but sure, we did get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had an issue of the fact that they're used to kind of doing it slowly and by themselves. So even though I brought them a lot of help, they didn't seem to want to train these people how to do things. And so they would go in there and do them themselves. And I had supervisors that were actually part of the job, which you never want your supervisor to be an integral part of the job. Their job is to supervise.
Right.
There should be people that they're supervising, because if somebody goes down and they're part of the job,
right,
the job is done. It's right. Toast. So, you know, it's like, what do you do with someone who's indispensable? You fire them.
Yeah.
Because they are breaking your system. Indispensable is a bad thing, you know.
Now, what about, like, a new building needs and why? Why would you need a new building?
I need a new building if we want to expand it out and do it better. Right now, I have only 6 units in there. So I had to do the early vote early. I had to count it early because there's no way we could have done all on the election day. What I want to do is to count nothing before election. Once the polls close, we count everything, including all the mail-ins, all that sort of thing.
Okay.
And depending on how President Trump's EO goes, maybe there won't be any mail-ins. You know, maybe there'll just be a few absentees, which will be a whole lot less.
Oh, that'd be great.
But we shall see. Anyway, whatever it is, we'll be able to do it. But if we have enough machines and enough space, then we can do that ourselves.
Are you looking at double the space, triple the space? What are you looking at?
Probably at least double.
Okay.
Maybe a little more, because I also want to bring printing in-house, because there's all those printing issues from having to use remote printers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew anything about them. There's the little holes in the envelopes where, yeah, you could see the vote. The fact you could look through them and actually read them, you know.
Well,
sort of thing.
You know, people were complaining about being able to see their ballot, their election choice on there. And I put my envelope in there. I put my ballot in there multiple times, different ways. I could not see it. But what I ended up doing it, folding it face to face,
right,
and put it in there. So then all you see is white paper.
Right.
So it's like, okay, it's in there, and there's no need for it to be otherwise.
Right.
So I folded it face to face, put it in there. It's like, okay, how are you going to see it? And I held it up to the light. There was nothing. And I kept seeing people talking about it on social media.
Look, you hold up a bright light, you can see it. So you can actually read it. And in most states, they prevent that by putting an inner sleeve.
Okay.
I think it's Montana that uses kind of a cardboard bag looking thing.
Okay.
It's really ugly, but it really works.
We don't care as long as it works, right?
It's like cheap brown paper, and you stick it in there, and it is blanked out. You're not going to see anything. But the reason you couldn't see it is because that hole moves around on the envelope. So
what do you mean it moves?
The hole is not in the same spot every time. So you saw something for the Secretary of State that says that hole is to help someone align so they knew where to sign. It was an ADA thing. They were just looking at one envelope, which accidentally aligned. That's not what the hole's for. The hole is to determine if there's anything in the envelope.
Oh.
Because if it's empty, you're not supposed to open it. So you can call somebody up and say, could you check your couch? I have your envelope, but there's no ballot in here.
Yeah, okay.
If you open it, they'll think you lost it.
Oh, there you go.
If it's closed, you can show them to go, see, nothing.
Still sealed, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the purpose of the hole. Usually, in most states, it's over in the corner on the side, so it never is a problem.
Right.
But California moves that baby around everywhere. I'm not sure if there's some processing equipment that tries to use it or what's going on with that. But
interesting.
That's the reason for the hole, anyway.
Okay, well, that explains it.
If we print it inside, if we print it ourselves, we'll save about $100,000 to $200,000 per election.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
You would think, but then we have to buy the printers, we have to have the space, and we have to secure it.
Okay.
Can't do that at Market Street. Not enough room.
Okay.
So we have to do something different to make that work. So well,
we finally got the hole proof, nothing but the proof.
Yes.
Okay, and then here's a off the cuff here question. When was the last Republican that held your position?
I don't know. Whoop, it popped. Did we lose the sound?
I don't know.
We're good now. We're good.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I don't know. Not for a long time. So how they got elected? Well, I think I just walked you through how you front-loaded an election.
Right.
So, you know, it's a bad way to set it up, because even if you have someone honest, they're now losing their job, and all they got to do is walk into a room where you have nothing secured and drop in a handful of ballots and take out a handful of ballots,
yeah,
and you're good to go. So a lot of people will tell you, and I actually looked this part up. I haven't researched it completely. A lot of people tell you, oh, the reason you got that big surge at the beginning is because all the Democrats voted, right? Kevin Cry recall. All the Democrats voted, the Republicans stayed home, so that's why you had that big number.
Mm-hmm.
Except if you look at the numbers, that is not what happened at all. It is the same trend through the Republicans outvoted the Democrats in the beginning.
Okay.
And in the middle and at the end, just like they always do. So the numbers are out there, and the numbers say something completely different. So why that 40%? I don't know. Maybe all the Republicans decided that the Democrats were right and wanted to get rid of Kevin. Or maybe not.
Yeah. Or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. Okay.
We can check the maybe not. At least the Justice Department can.
Well, so when is that going to happen?
I'm going to write them Monday.
Okay. And what's your wild guess as to when they might respond and get started on something like that?
You've obviously never worked with the Justice Department.
That's why I'm asking you.
They will respond when they feel like it.
That's right.
If they feel like it.
Okay.
And depending, I was trying to get them to come down here for the election because, you know, they were sending them to other places.
Yeah.
You know, but the guy I know in the Justice Department said, we're not getting paid for this because they were on furlough right then.
Okay.
So if we have to come, we're coming to some way that's important. And you're not important. You're not going to do anything. You're fine. We're not watching you. We want to go down to Bakersfield. We want to go down to L.A. We want to go pester them in Orange County.
Sure.
You know, so that's where they sent their resources. So I couldn't get them there. We did have two from the Secretary of State's office and two from the Attorney General. So they came and watched and tried to see if they could find anything and didn't find anything.
Lo and behold.
We're good to go. So all those things you saw in the like the lefty newspaper saying, oh, no, this is terrible. It's never going to go. It went.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. And we had a lot of scrutiny on it at the time, which is exactly the way we want it.
Right, right.
In fact, 3 weeks before, maybe 2 weeks before, the Secretary of State sent their big team, their A team down to us, mm-hmm. which is the people we've talked to. You know, we talked to them before. We talked to them all the time. And so they walked through. I showed them everything, you know, and they said, only thing we see is that one camera might be able to see something. Can you block that? So we did. That was the camera before I ever got there, right? There's one of them in the voting area. I probably wouldn't have put one in the voting area at all, or at least would have shut it off for that period, but I didn't set it up, so it was where it was. So we put a little piece of label over it, and it blocked that section, and they were semi-happy.
Okay.
I think they would have been happier if they could have found something, but
they didn't find anything.
Nothing to find. We did it by the law.
Okay.
And the only complaint they had other than that was that they thought we should move the seating for the observer, because I put the observers right behind people, about 3 feet behind, so they could actually watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's doing anything without being caught, right? And they thought that was too close to the staff. And so I got hold of the city for the county attorney and said, what's the feet? How many feet do I have to use? And just like I read, it's my discretion. Well, my discretion is that they have to make the staff sit on their lap. I want them that close. But, you know, I gave them 3 feet.
Okay.
So it stayed 3 feet. I want them right there, right?
So the state didn't know that that was your discretion?
It's my discretion. In fact, most of the rules, it's the discretion of the ROV.
Oh, my goodness.
Which, oh, that explains a lot.
That explains a lot of what happened.
Yeah, it explains a lot. They can do basically anything they want. They're not the Secretary of State is there to make sure you follow the major rules, but they're not there to nitpick everything you do.
Okay.
And the laws aren't even written for that purpose because, you know, what we do in Shasta County is going to be different than what they do in L.A.
Sure, sure.
You know, there's a little more going on there sometimes.
Yeah, bigger numbers.
Right. We do it better, though.
That's right. That's right.
And with the video, if we can get this pushed out across the country before the midterms, I think you'll see a lot of change, and you may even see a kind of a redding of California.
Hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of Democrats are coming over because they just got out of hand. They got crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to do all the noble things, but you have to make sense at some point in time.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so anything else exciting going on there that we need to be aware of, that especially for preparation for the next election?
Well, for the next election, we're going to do cross training.
Mm-hmm.
Since, you know, they don't know anything about cross training. Everybody went to, had like a particular job, didn't know a thing how to do another one.
Sounds like the governorship.
Could be. So, like, if one person went down, like, we had a person who runs the Agilis machine. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
That's the ballot. That's a sorter, right?
Yep.
So they're running that. They were missing for a couple days because they had appointments and such. That machine didn't run. No one else knew how to use it.
Oh, that's not good.
Isn't that terrible?
Wow.
When we're doing the balancing upstairs, right? All these ballots need to be balanced. So what do they have if they're doing it? Three people. I can give them 30. It can be done in 5 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
But instead, they don't want to teach anybody how to do anything. They want to kind of hold on to their little thing. Well, that isn't going to work. You know, that's not the way we do things now. So
yeah,
we're going to make it so the people get in and out quicker. There were problems with the polls not being correctly done. I'm going to do that personally. So I'm going to take on the poll worker issue myself and go through the training and teach them that the point is to get people in and out and make them happy, not just them sit there and.
Did you have enough poll workers?
We had enough poll workers, okay, but they didn't understand that if someone brings in their ballot and their envelope, they can vote. They can vote right there. They don't have to put in the envelope, which would make it a mail-in.
Okay.
Because if you go on election day and you stick it in the envelope, it is a mail-in. It cannot be counted election day because it has to be signature verified. So you can't signature verify right away. So it has to sit up there, go through the scan, go on the screen, everybody sits down, does. So it takes a...
So hypothetically, if I walked into your office the day of the election and I had my ballot in the envelope and I put it in the box, it's not counted that day?
Not counted that day. Can't be.
Has so to be what signature verified. Where else do you put it if...
There's another box that you slide it into where it's just the raw ballot, not your envelope. Because once you put in the envelope, it has to be signature verified. But if you've already come in and we verified you had your envelope and your ballot, then you're good. You stick it in the regular ballot box, and you're good to go.
And that's exactly what happened when I voted. They kept my envelope.
Right.
And I had my ballot, obviously, and they just said, well, you put it in that box, and it was the one with the slot.
Right. They should keep your envelope.
Yes.
Because if your envelope escapes and somebody else gets it, then they'll come in, and now the votes are messed up.
So in Bernie, you had trained them well, and they were doing their job.
There you go.
Well, Bernie's always good.
Of course it is.
You know, they know what they're doing there.
And today, Bernie has sun, and you guys are down here in the fog.
What's wrong with us?
Yesterday was like... Man,
we're all going to Bernie.
And it's this way all the way down the valley to Sacramento.
Is it?
Yeah, it's awful.
We're all headed to Bernie.
Except in Bernie. Bernie's sunny.
But is Bernie warm?
Bernie's never warm. Not from October through April.
I did a parade there, and it was like 102 in Reading, right? And so the parade was in Bernie. So I went up to Bernie, and I'm dressed for 102. It was 60 degrees. I froze. And I had a wind coming at me. It's like, what's going on here? Always take a coat to Bernie. You never know.
Yeah. Even in the summertime, it at night, it cools down. Yeah. That's the beauty of it.
Makes it nice.
Permanent air conditioner.
So looking forward to your election. As you go through this, Joanna, now is she work? She's working in Trinity County, I believe, as an advisor. Is that the...
You know? I'm not
tell
sure.
You. Could not tell you.
I forgot to keep track of her.
Yeah, you know, anyway, the curiosity is that, all these things that we've talked about, all the things you have to go back and look at, I mean, she was second in command during that whole time.
Well, she was really first in command when Tom Troller was there.
Very much so.
He actually had no
Very
idea.
Very much so.
And I can see why he may have folded early, because... The minute you try and change things, all these people come at you that they can't do it, it's impossible, yada, 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 you know. Everything was impossible. Everything. We did the ball draw. They used to do a ball draw. There are three ways you can do it. You can do it by dice, you can do it by ping pong balls, or you can have the computer select which one you're going to draw.
Oh.
Well, so the computer's checking the computer. Nothing wrong with that, right?
What do you use, a bingo ball basket?
We used a ball. Yeah, we used the ball. So we build a thingy so you can count all the balls out there and drop them in and pull the ball out. You know, and they were saying, oh, this is going to take forever with all these races. And no, San Diego uses this. San Diego is one of the biggest jurisdictions in the whole state, and they use the ball drop. They're just so tied into the way they used to do things that they have a tough time letting it go. You know, they were told it's going to take forever. They looked at it and were told it's going to take forever. No, it took us about an hour to do this one. It'll probably take us about 3 hours to do the next one, but insignificant. At least people can see it. They know it's right. And that's what's important.
Right.
You know, so. But I'm not sure you ever had a machine problem. I think you may have had a...
Operator?
Yeah, you may have had a little help at the beginning. Mm. I haven't looked at all your elections, but it'll be interesting if a lot of them are front-loaded that way, not just that one. That one might have been more aggressive. so it's a little more seeable.
I'm sure it was.
Can't check.
Given the candidates running, it was. I mean, right. You know, you stand back and look like, why was it like that? Especially when you see it on television. You're seeing the results on TV. It's like, wait a minute. There's something wrong there. and you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that, out. And then when people start talking in the computer tech language and all the numbers and stuff, it's like, I understand now. I'm getting to where I understand.
Yes.
So I understand a lot of what happened there. I couldn't explain it and teach anybody that, but I understand it.
Right. Well, everyone else comes up with a theory. Oh, the Democrats outvoted the Republicans. But no one checked it. It's easy to check. The data is there.
Yeah.
All you got to do is say, okay, well, how many Democrats were you this day? How many Republicans were you on that day? And you can walk through it day by day. So you know exactly where your early vote is, mm-hmm. where your election day vote is, and when your mail-ins are. And the Republicans outvoted the Democrats, as they should in this area.
Right.
Every time.
Because there are more Republicans than there are Democrats.
It's like, what, 70-30?
Yeah.
Something like that. So if you had a Democrat holding an office in a 7-30, either they really loved her or she cheated. Those are your two options. You got to pick one.
Going to go with the latter.
Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, in California, 93% of the incumbents win.
Yeah.
And you have the uninformed voter. That's been a lot of it. Everything you said totally holds water. But we do have the uninformed voter. That's a real issue for most people. You know, I think that the idea of getting out there, I mean, you going out and being with the public, being engaged in the community, those kinds of things are something we haven't seen out of an ROV officer.
No, not at all.
Ever. And so I think those things are important because,
well, they're trying to scale me back, though, at the county.
Why?
I'm not sure, but under Joanna, they went to gay days every time for 10 years, right?
Mm. Right.
I asked for my office to go to the Christmas parade, and they said no. Does that make any sense?
Is the sheriff in that parade?
I bet he is.
you might want to check.
I know.
And so,
well, this time I'm just doing it myself. I just paid for everything myself, and we'll go do it that way. And since I'm free to do what I want to, I don't have to make it secular. I can go ahead. I'm good in the nativity scene. So we will be in the parade with a nativity scene.
There you go.
But, you know, I do engage in the community. In fact, I'm bell ringing at Walmart at 2 o'clock today if anyone comes see me. So I will be the Salvation Army ringing a bell. So.
Quite a change. Quite a change from the cafe. Yeah, so, you know, with all this, I think that I'd like to know who has jurisdiction over you to tell you you can't be in the parade in your office.
Well, the county, because I said what we wanted flags to hand out, because I always hand out flags at every event we're at, right?
Right.
And then we had some the expense of the thing, so I wanted to clear certain expenses, because they didn't have – they'd thrown away all their table skirting, so we were going to use that to cover the float. So we were going to buy more, because, you know, when we do outreach, we need table skirting, so we're going to buy that, and some Christmas lights, and it was like $150, something like that. And so I sent it up like I'm supposed to. Did the proposal, and it came back, you're not allowed to do that.
Is that the CEO?
Is that because you're running for office, or is it as a representative of the current office that you hold?
Well, we're doing it as the office. So, but if they're trying to limit me because I'm running for office, then they might not want to let the sheriff do his. He runs for office, doesn't he?
He does.
Or anybody else who runs for office.
He has an extension, remember?
Yeah, so he's not currently in a race.
What difference does it make?
Well, no, I'm just saying that could be the deciding
what
factor.
What they say.
Well, yeah. Then that sounds like a civil rights violation.
Yeah.
As a lawyer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because...
And a civil rights violation is a federal crime.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're just wondering where this is going. I'm going to ask the board, because I don't think the board will be on board with the fact that they get to go to gay days, but they don't get to go to Christmas.
That's insane.
They didn't go to Christmas. So they either hate me or they hate Christmas. I'm not sure which one it is, but we need to ferret those people out and find out what their issue is.
We need to ferret those people out and get it done, just like we need to get this program done, because we are just about done.
I know who I am, but I want to know who they are.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
Clint Curtis, thank you, brother. Awesome show. Awesome information. Great stuff. Janet, welcome back, my dear. Your little vacation was good?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't miss a show.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
You didn't. You don't miss a thing, girl.
And Wynn,
thank you so much for... We throw everything at Wynn so we have someone to blame.
There
That's
you go.
Right, yeah.
And he gets it done.
Bring
just
it
like
on.
We Bring need to on. Get Jefferson done, don't we?
Amen.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Heads bowed at the table, giving thanks for all we've got. For life's blessings and love, things that can't be bought. Thanksgiving's more than turkey.
But Casey and ours.